Simeshin Yuches to Yuches. Ilfas Vakaderis, so these are different. So Ilfas is like a frying pan. There is a pot. Shavir Murutachin Meal Gabi Hu'ur. So it's a clear region which is not on the Aish anymore. You took it off of the fire. Imoni Spashal called Tsarchai, and the food is not fully cooked. So the law is you cannot remove food from this pot using a ladle, using a spoon. Shinimsa Magus, because that would be the equivalent of stirring it. And stirring a kli rishon, which is not on the esh, which is not fully cooked, is cooking. It hastens the cooking process. In this special called tzorcha, however, if the food is fully cooked, so stirring it would not be cooking it because it's already cooked. So then it's mutter to remove the food with a ladle, with a spoon. The Mishnah Berurah will talk about, are you allowed to stir it intentionally? Whether that's or we're just discussing this case of removing with a spoon, but stirring intentionally, chetkila, you shouldn't do. So that the Mishnah Berurah will talk about. Avot semer liyara, but let's say the issue over here is not cooking, it's dying. And the way they would dye it is they would cook up this dye, the different ingredients in water, and they cook it up, and they would put the wool which they're trying to dye into the pot, and it would absorb the dye. Alpha Bisha Kola to Ayin, even though it's already absorbed the color. Also the Haggis, but you cannot stir it, because stirring helps it absorb more color. It's considered the malach of tzeveya of dyeing something. The Haggis means pierced linen, also bekaftis, to move it, to stir it around with a spoon. Comes the Ramah. Ramah says, Chachil Yeshli Zoyer, Av Pekadeira, Lucholinyan. So, according to Machaber, when it's fully cooked in a pot, there's no problem. Comes the Ramah, says that the same way you're Machmer by the situation of Semer Liyara, when you're dealing with the Malach of Tzeveya of dying, you should also be Machmer when it comes to a regular pot, and the issue is Bishul. Okay. Zot Mishnah Berurah, Sukkotan Kuf Yud Gimel. Shavirin Rusach. Nakat Shavirin Rusa. The chiddush over here is that even though it's off of the fire, the filo b'ze osur kishloin nispasha kol tzorch, even though it's not on the fire anymore, if it's not fully cooked, it's osur. If it's on the fire, it's a kavu chaimer, that's a problem. When it's nispasha kol tzorch, in a case where it's fully cooked, filo oimed al gabi u'ur mutal ha'itzi b'kaf b'kein mashma b'ez yosef. But the flip, in other words, the Mechaber said in a case of Nisbasha Kol Tzarchai, everything is wonderful. In the case of the Shulchan Aruch, talking about a case where it's not on the fire. What about a case where it's on the fire? If you tell me the reason we chapped off of the fire is a Chiddush, in the case of not fully cooked, that it's Osir, which, but really, on the fire is the same din. So now, when I tell you in this special called tzarcha, it's mutter, the Mishnah says it's mutter even if it's on the fire. I can still remove the food using a ladle. But by Elia Rabba, Masik, the Yesh Lesser is it. Okay, so take a look at the Sharet Tzion. In Sivkot and Kuf Lamed Vav. So Eli Rabbah brings this from a Kolbay. Kenu Kich Mi Kolbay. That's the Kolbays are one of the Rishonim. Well, Kolbay, Imoyah Hagasa Mamash Yesh Rechiv Chatas. A person would stir kibitshu al ha'esh, a person's food on the pyre, and it's fully cooked, the person would stir it intentionally, kolba holds there's a chivcha, that's considered bishul. And therefore, removing with the ladle, which is not intentionally, you're not intending to stir it, but since stirring it would be a chiyuv katas, so removing it with a ladle, which approximates the process of a hagasa of stirring, is also aser. So the chiddush over here of this kolboy is that. That it generates some type of maisa bishul through the hagosa, which you don't normally get without the stirring. Therefore, it's considered a maisa bishul, even though it's fully cooked. Okay. Fine. Mashrabotza, Ha'el Rabba Litchus, the Epshad, the Maria, Kolba, Bishaloni's Bashal, called Sarkari. That which the Ha'el Rabba wants to be doyacha, that the case of the Kolba was it was not fully cooked. Lord, here it's incorrect. And he proves that the case of the kolba is a case that's fully cooked, and still he's saying there's a din bishul. So, fine. So the Mishnah Berurah is coming out that on the fire, a person should not be removing it with a spoon because of the kolba. Because if he would stir intentionally, even if it's fully cooked. So an example of this would be when they first made crock pots, it was one unit. Now, like, it's a unit which comes out of the you have the base and you have the crock pot. When they first made them, and some of the smaller ones still come like that, it's one unit. It's not removable. So in that situation, it's aloesh. So you couldn't spoon out. A person would want to take out the cholent. The logical thing would be he'll spoon out from the pot, which is aloesh, into the serving bowl and do that. So according to the kolba, you shouldn't do that. Mishnah Berurah seems to be chashish with the kolba, even though it's fully cooked. So the eitz is to pick the whole thing up and pour it out, not you into a container, and then do whatever you have to do from there. Okay. So Mishnah Kufiyut Daled, Shibs and Magus. So you shouldn't take out with a spoon because that gives you a process of hagasa, which is stirring. So in the case of Machaber, it was not fully cooked. So you can't take out the spoon. Obviously, you can't stir. There would be a problem. It would be a chiyuv chatas. So because this is...
What would this be a chiyuv chatas for?
According to the Mechaber, unless it's fully cooked, you say bishul, there's still bishul. He brought a sheet over there, once it's cooked, kamach ben drusoy, it's no longer bishul afterwards. We don't paskin like that, the Mishulchan Aruch paskins. Until it's fully cooked, taking it from Michael ben drusoy to fully cooked is called bishul. So over here, stirring it is considered part of the process, is considered being makar of the bishul. So be chiyuv katas. And then a person would take out with the calf, that's going to be yosur. Either because it's a psik ratio on that, or because it looks like hagasa, it's also mirabonan. So Shartzian says, Kuflam and Zion, it's not real hagasa, it's not really stirring it. The stirring process is more vigorous, it's larger movement, etc. So it's not mamash hagasa. with this, with, it's not a psik reisha on a gosa, but it's also a rabbanon, just like a gosa. Okay. Then, once it's fully cooked, however, so then it's mutter, kuf tezvav, afilo lahagis, ma'idein bishalach or bishal, k'delba siptalin. So Shulchan Aruch says, once it's fully cooked, there's no problem with bishal anymore. Mishnah Berurah said, if it's still on the ash, maybe there is a problem. But the case of the tzemer, asal lahagis, mishum tzveya, because there the problem is the malacha of tzveya, of dyeing something. Shkenu malacha is a tzveya, lahagis tamim k'nei yiskarek. Part of the process of dyeing something is the stirring, that it should lo yiskarek, it shouldn't scorch. I mean, it goes to Nicholas, it's emergency, and the color gets absorbed better through stirring. Okay. And the Rambam said, Rachel, you should be careful, even in the case of Gedera. After Gedera, so you should just pour out from the pot into the kor, into a large bowl. You shouldn't ladle out.
Kor?
Kor is a kor, is a bowl.
Bowl.
Play. So the Chachamim said that this chumra of the Ramah is not accepted. If it's fully cooked, even to do a gosa is mutter. So even if you want to be machmer when it's fully cooked, it makes sense to be machmer by hagosa mamish. But to use a ladle to take the chumra that right, that you're not going to use a ladle that far, you don't have to go. But he's special called tzarcha vein aloheish, in a case where it's fully cooked and it's not on the fire. But a case where it's on the fire already, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it makes sense to be machmer. That's that example that we gave. Yeah. Sif Yutes. Also, lotuach shemen b'shum al hatzli. So you have something roasting, b'ayda kenegad hamadura, where the tzli is by the fire. You want to rub the food with oil or with garlic, which are not cooked. So that's also to do that. Even though the tzli is fully roasted from before Shabbos. But the problem is that the oil and the garlic will cook. Okay. Now the Mechaber seems to say it's only a problem when it's connected to Madura, when the tzli is still near the fire. Connected to Madura, kuf yud ches. Lav dafka. The truth is, this halacha is a problem even if it's not by the fire. You took the roasted food on the spit away from the fire. As long as the tzli is still hot, you cannot smear these non-cooked oil and garlic on it. Because there's a concept called davar gush, something which is a solid, is able to cook, even though it's not by the fire. It itself is the power to cook. It's hot. And furthermore, afilu imaniach acharkach ala kara shu klisheni gam ganos. Even if it's now you took this piece of meat, you put it on a plate, that's a klisheni. It's still also to put on these non-cooked ingredients. Well, Kamapoyskin is serving the double goosh, calls mancha yatsa lettuce boy, Philip Clear Chain and Mavash. something which is a solid, as long as it's still hot, even though it's in a klisheni, it will still cook. If you did do that to the food, because there are opinions which say that once it's in klisheni, even if the ragush no longer cooks a salad, and therefore b'dieved, you can't say that the that which he smeared onto it was cooked, and therefore it's also to eat. It's not true. Now, we're talking about oil or garlic, which are raw items which have never been cooked. Al b'shumin shenikba, but not a case of shemen, which is oil, but shumin, which is the fat. So you'd render the fat of an animal, so they would cook it to render it. So it's nisbashel. Make it usable fat. And now it congealed, which means it's cooled off. So I want to take the shuman and smear it onto this hot salad. Mutalatuach, I feel like I got a madura. If you allow to smear that on, even though it's by the fire, it's not. It's ready fully cooked. So you don't have a problem with bishul because it's fully cooked. When you're putting it on, it's a solid. Even though it's going to melt, right now it's a solid. A solid which is fully cooked. There's no dinner bishul anymore. But you're melting the fat. That's your problem of nylon. The result is you have this new liquefied fat. Because you're only putting enough on that absorbs in, it's not a problem. You can't actively melt it. He puts on a little bit at a time, it melts on its own and absorbs it. So similarly, taking goose fat and smearing that onto agavi mine kemochim mikitnius kemochin arbizin in hears. Smearing it onto some noodles or millet. I'm not sure what arbizin is. So you took the hot lakshin and put it into a klisheni. Afshu resech, even though it's still boiling hot, so it's a dover gush, but since you're putting on something which is already cooked, and right now it's a salad, it's mutter. You put a little bit at a time, as it melts, it absorbs. Okay, so that's basically the Mishnah Berurah now ended his discussion.
Put a little bit of water on it at a time, the fat onto the cooked solid.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the seminar, he's just going to discuss all the various different scenarios. They're not necessarily connected back to what he just learned. It's a chance to throw in some other halachas. Okay, he's with this after. So one person put the fire there, one person added the wood, one person put the pot down, one person added the water, one person added the meat, one person added the spices, one person came and stirred. Everybody's chayiv. Hainu Shanoisen, or the one who puts the fire there, Chayiv Mishumavri, is making a fire. So what was the case? He brought a existing fire from somewhere else, but as you move the coal, as you're moving, the wind of the movements stirs up the dormant fire inside, and it becomes bursts into flames. That's called maver, making a fire. The person adds wood, he's making more fire. The rest of them after that, the k'teira, the mayim, the basar, the tavlin, and the agosa, because of a bishul. We got Megas Amitams. The one who stirred it is also Chayat, the Malacha's Bishul. Shekaloi Sadabra Mitzarche Bishul, the Rezim and Vashul. Any part of the Bishul process is called Bishul. What Shekaloi Sadabra Rambam. Now, the Mishavura, the case of the Tosefta, so I get it. The person who brought the fire is called making a fire. The person who added was making a fire. The person who added the water is cooking the water. The person who added the meat is cooking the meat. The person who added the spices is cooking the spices. The person who stirred it is cooking everything. The person put the pot, what did he do wrong? Right? So the Zak Mishabura, Benoshtan Sikdeirim, Mari Bechadosh, we're talking about a new pot. And therefore, first time you put on the fire, the act of heating it up in the fire adds to its tensile strength. So it's considered that you did something, a tikkun in the pot. Gemara Shom, Ayin Vig Mendelez. That's the Morris explains over there. Fine. Echonosan Sakdeiro, Echonosan Samayim, the Tesepta continues. One person put down a fat, one person added the water, Echonosan Bosom, one person added the meat, Echonosan Satavlin, one person added the spices, Echonosan Satavlin, one person put the wood under the pot. There's no fire yet. So he has a pot, puts the pot, adds the water, adds the meat, adds the spices, puts the wood under the pot, and then Bechad Heviyas Ur, then somebody brings a fire there and lights the fire. Akrab Hegas, the one person came and stirred it. Shnamar Kharnam Kiyavim, the last Tzur Chayach. Keno Gersa Nukharnam Kiyamashak Higiyah Hagro, Bagersa Vat Hosefta, that's the Groz Pshat, that's the correct Gersa. Following this girsa, it makes sense. I'm not sure what the girsa they had and what the problem was. Because of Rabbi Magad, the Dibre Kol Shein Bibishul Echiyiv, Keshmuv Heshel is called Tzarchai. Ein Bahagososoi Chiyiv. There's no chiv of cooking it, there's no chiv of stirring it. But fine, which we said before that was not everybody agrees to that.
What last two people were chayiv, the one who stirred and the one who
added the fire.
Added the fire.
Okay. Not like the Magen Mishnah, that there is a problem according to the Kol, even when it's fully cooked. Okay. Kli Bishul Shalon, Shakarn Samavar. We have a Samavar, which is an urn. Shalokhami of Shabbos, it's been heated before Shabbos. Asalitim Amayim Bishabbos, Kashen Agarf Minakacholim. If you have the coals there inside of the samovar, or under the samovar, and there's actual coals there, so you can't take hot water from the pot, because you're afraid it might stir up the coals. Okay, because of the Sefer Tosis Yishlaim, the old Simon Rishon of Gimel, Ein Shom Shehevi Zeh B'Shem Yerushalmi, the Gemara Shom, the Mulyar Shenogorif Ein Shetzer Mena B'Shabbos. The Mulyar is a type of a urn to heat water. If the coals are there, it's not you haven't swept out the coals, so you cannot use it on Shabbos. Atam Gmeshu Osi Perokim V'Shor Shem Yisakol Perukai B'Mosif Mayim. So over there, the concern is that a person will add more water, because he's afraid that if it boils out, it'll damage the whole thing. But over here, we're saying that the chashash is just the simpleton of the chashash of Shem Yechatu. Fiza yesh lizarka sheyoshav lishtes mina kli bishul shalonu karem shkia v'emzah kiddush alam yom sheyishtes mina oid. So if you're using such a type of a kli, you can't be taking any more hot water from it on Shabbos. So nowadays, Armecham is made in such a way that this is not a problem. It's going to Armecham, the hot water. This chashash Hashem, that the Yerushalmi seems to be saying, we're not worried about. So that's why we take out water from an urn on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. Simin Shin Yutes. So the Mishabur gives introduction to Simin Shin Yutes. Let's do the introduction. So the Malach of Shin Yutes deals with the Malach of Borer. So that's one of the Lamatas Malachas. The real Malach is going to deal with a question. So it's an interesting Malach. So where is Borer in the process? It's part of the process of the processing the grain. So you would harvest the grain, then you would bring it to the threshing floor and you would thresh it, either with flails, or they would have animals which walk on it and they would break the kernels off of the stalks. So now you have a combination of the kernels with the little pieces of stalks. You would take a pitchfork and you would winnow it, throw it up into the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff, which is much lighter than the kernels, and the kernels would fall back down. So that's the Malach of Zorah. And now it would fall back down, so you just have the grains left, but it's been on the floor of the threshing floor, which there are other things on the threshing floor besides just the grains. There's little pebbles, etc. So that's mixed into the pile. So the act of picking out those things before you grind it is the Malach of Borer. So really, Zorah and Borer are doing the same thing. They're both, according to the Bavli, that Zorah and Borer are both the process of cleaning it out from this the unwanted items and which are in the mixture. But one, the chiddush of Zorah, that you're using the wind to do that. So the Mursa, that's a chiddush, that Zorah is chayiv, even though you're using the wind to do that. There's Yerushalmi, which is Masha, the main issue of Zorah is the spreading things with the wind, even though there's no psalus and oichol, not like the Bavli. But the Bavli says it's only done with Zorah if there's a psalus. The primary element of Bara always assumes a taruvus. It's irrelevant to discuss Bara unless there's a taruvus. So if I have, and a terubis is defined, there's three things taken into consideration to define a terubis: is the amount of items which are there, the size of the items, and the proximity of the items. So you have a large amount of items, and there's small items, and they're right next to each other, you have a terubis. You have two items. That's not a terubis. You have many items, but they're very large. So it's not a terubis. They're large enough that they're distinct. Each one is distinct by itself. Defining whether something is a terubis or not is very challenging, because there's no. I asked the Rebbe this more than once, and his answer was, if it looks like a terubis, it's a terubis. If it doesn't look like a terubis, it's not a terubis. Made my Rebbe a stand-up comedian. That's basically what it boils down to. What the Chiddush is that the Bir Lachim deal with is that you're doing the malacha taking out the psalus. So it's, by definition, malacha is a gufa. The malacha is being done in the psalus. You don't need the psalus. You need the eichel. So there is a Ramban, which is an economy. The Ramban says that barer, the Chiddush of barer, is that even though it's malacha is a gufa, everybody holds its chayiv. That's the unique Chiddush of barer. But the Bir Halacha later on says from the Balamor. Balamor says no. The reason why you need a teruvis is for this point, because when it's a teruvis, it's one unit. Excuse me. And this unit is getting a tikkun. That's so. By definition, there has to be a teruvis. Otherwise, it's going to be lachos shenis legufa. Because if you look at it as one big thing, so this one big thing now is not usable as is, and you need to make it more usable by removing some of that. So the Rubis will allow you to understand that as well.
Will allow you to understand what?
Well, the issue of Malach Shem Sikh Lagufa. So that's Mishnah Berurah. Hinei Berurah hu echem lamed tes malachas malachas shal Shabbos. Bar is one of the lamed tes malachas. Uchiyavan ala gam kein chatas b'shagim misi b'meizik kumar b'shar malachas. It's a chiyav, it's a siddharaisa. Chiyav chatas, a chiyav misa. It's a very common malacha, and people are not careful with it. Therefore, I'm going to explain it as best as I can. The actum is a simon actum. Sarab gave an introduction over here. Bahu and chal iser bara minatari kiim bebecha mishlosha ufanim. So shows there of brera he came bechol. So we're going to define that Barer has conditions which, if one of them is met, it's considered Barer. Now, the way the Achronim understand, so we need to understand something. We're saying Barer is a malacha. But on the flip side, we know that there's a case of Barer which is not a malacha, that once a person has food in his mouth, and some of the food is desirable to him, and some of the food is undesirable. He stuck something, there's something in there which was not something that he wants to eat. He's allowed to spit it out of his mouth. Borer is a terubis of desirable, undesirable food in his mouth, and he's spitting out the undesirable food. The answer, that's not called the malacha, that's called eating. Part of the process is that you sometimes make a judgment about the food in your mouth. It's not everything is necessarily edible or usable. So that's not called malacha, that's called achila. So the Chazal understood the same way that's true when it's in your mouth, things which would make that the bar really is just part of the achila process, it's part of the actual achila process, even though it took place before it got into your mouth, that's also not called bar. So in general, the bar process is to take what you want. The achila process is to take what you want and leave what you don't want behind. So therefore, that's not called barer if you do that. Barer is taking what's undesirable away. Even though he's doing it by hand, with intent to eat immediately, but taking out the bad from the good is not achila. Shezel derech barer b'chol, liver b'shelos min ha'echol. Okay, Bayz, imu barer b'kli, shederech liver b'chol, if you're using a kli, kagan b'napo kvora, a sieve and a sifter, Chayav afilu who bar ochel min himself. Even though you're taking the ochel from the service to die to lechem yad to eat immediately, shekain derech bar b'kli. Because when you do bar b'kli, pamim shubar ochel min abserlus. If what you want to eat is large and the pselus is small, so the oichel will stay in the kli and the small undesirable things will fall away through the holes. And sometimes it's the opposite. What you want goes through the holes and what you don't want stays behind. If it's a unconventional type of a kli, that's also mirabonin. So, I came up with this great idea that if you have peas with their pods and stuff like that, so the peas are heavier than the pod. So, I take a funnel and I swing it around, so the peas, which are heavier, will move with the gravity, will move them towards the opening of the funnel. They'll go run down, and the pseudos will stay on top. Yeah, but that's not a normal way to be burger. So that's derbanan. You're taking the good from the bad. With not using a kli with your hand. The heter is derech achila. So taking the good from the bad by hand, that's normal. That's achila. You're using a few hours from now, so you're not doing achila yet. So that's also chayiv. So to make it mutter, you need to be careful in three things. You take the good from the bad. You take it by hand, not using a kli. With the intent to use it for immediate usage. So then it's not called brera, it's called eating. So that's the main points. We'll go through the details. And we'll see that when we say miyad, for immediate use, doesn't necessarily mean for immediate use, it means for that meal. Yeah. Okay, so you're asking about the strainer that you have on the bottom of the sink?
I mean, I don't have one, but I've wondered about it.
So the reason why a strainer is not a problem on the bottom of the sink, we will talk about later on, but is because it's selecting the bad from the bad.
Okay.
There's the water, which is a discard, which is going down the sink, and there's the junk, which is a discard, which is going into the strainer, which you'll throw out until you'll eventually take and throw out into your garbage. So it's not oichel from oichel. It's not oichel from pselus. It's pselus from pselus. That's why it's not a problem with brera. So we say that a kli. So the you have to do it by hands. So the person grapple with, I want to use a spoon. I want to use a fork or a knife. Is that called a hand? Is that called a kli? So in a case where it just, it's not changing the bare process. It's just easier to catch the thing, or it's less dirty, or whatever it is. So that's not that kli is like, is an extension of your hand. When the kli adds an element of umnis which wasn't there by your hands, so then it's considered, that's the, when we say it's a kli which is osur. So I'm using my fork to spear the things. I could do it with my hand, but it's dirty, and it's a little more tedious, etc. But it's not really done. The brera isn't done better necessarily by with a fork than with my hand. I use a sifter. It's a whole different type of process. If I do it by hand, it's not gonna be able to catch those things. The question which comes up is a spoon. So I could theoretically scoop my hand in and take out the item. But I'm using a spoon. Well, a spoon probably does it a little bit better than my hand. So Russia seemed to, when he answered the question, Russia just said that, in general, the spoon is just approximating what your hand is doing and just preventing your hand from getting dirty. I never understood it 100% because I think that there are definitely scenarios where the spoon will actually facilitate. The assumption in the law is that's not considered Be'er B'Kli, that's considered Be'er B'Yad, using those type of items. Okay.